40 tons? Almost intact. Jesus. That's what we thought. What are you going to do?
Nothing. The local cops are on it.
What does 40 tons look like?
Repetitive.
How the hell can 40 tons of methamphetamine get lost in the system?
I don't know. Stuff gets lost all the time. Shit happens. Maybe they weren't very proud of it. Values change all of a sudden, wartime to peacetime. Maybe that's why they hid it behind the code. And as soon as everyone forgot what the code meant, they forgot the stuff was there, out of sight and out of mind.
She didn't reply. He said,
"Thanks for your help, Susan."
"You're most welcome."
"Tell your buddy at Lackland there are records clerks taking money for combing the archives. That stuff wasn't found by accident. Maybe you can pay off the favor that way."
"Brown stars all around. Anything else?"
"Nothing on Kepler."
"He resigned for no reason. That's all there is. Which is strange, I agree, but there's no hard data anywhere. Either he's clean or someone cleaned up after him."
"Okay," Reacher said. "Thanks."
"Anything else?"
"No, I guess we're all done here."
"So this is goodbye?"
"I guess it is."
"It's been nice talking to you."
"For me, too." "Stay lucky, Susan. And thanks again."
"You bet."
She hung up. He sat in the chair for a moment with his eyes closed and the receiver on his lap. When it started beeping at him, he put it back in the cradle and got up and walked to the kitchen. Janet Salter was in the kitchen with a book under her arm. Reacher found her there. She was filling a glass with water from the tap. She was on her way to bed. Reacher stood aside, and she passed him and headed for the stairs. Reacher waited a moment and went to make one last check of the house. The cop in the library was standing easy, 6 feet from the window, alert and implacable. The cop in the hallway was in the telephone chair, sitting forward, her elbows on her knees. Reacher checked the view from the parlor and then headed upstairs to his room. He kept the lights off and the drapes open. The snow on the porch roof was thick and glazed and frozen. The street was empty. Just the parked cruiser, the cop inside, and ruts and ice and the relentless wind. All quiet. In Virginia, Susan Turner's desktop computer made a sound like a bell. The secure government intranet, an incoming email, the temporary password from the Human Resources Command. She copied and pasted it to a dialog box in the relevant database. The ancient report came up as an Adobe document, like an online photocopy. The 73rd citation from the cross-reference index in the back of Jack Reacher's service file. It was the history of an experiment run by an Army psychological unit, of which she knew there had been many, way back when. So many, in fact, that they had mostly sat around on their fat butts until inspiration had struck. This bunch had been interested in genetic mutation. The science was well understood by that point. DNA had been discovered. Then anecdotal evidence had come in about a kid's movie being shown on service bases. It was a cheap sci-fi flick about a monster, some rubber puppet filmed in extreme close-up. The creature's first appearance was held to be a cinematographic masterpiece. It came up out of a lagoon. Shock was total. Children in the audience screamed and recoiled physically. The reaction seemed to be universal. The psychologists agreed that to recoil from a source of extreme danger was a rational response derived from evolution. But they knew about mutation. Giraffes
were sometimes born with longer or shorter necks than their parents, for instance. Either useful or not, depending on circumstances, time would tell. Evolution would judge. So they wondered if children were ever born without the recoil reflex. Counterproductive in terms of the survival of the species, but possibly useful to the military. They sent prints of the movie to remote bases in the Pacific, Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps, because they wanted the largest possible test sample. The Pacific, because they wanted children not yet exposed to the movie, or even rumors of it. They set up inconspicuous cameras above the cinema screens. The cameras were focused on the front rows of the audience. The shutters were triggered by the film sprockets, timed to snap just after the monster emerged from the murk. Hundreds of children were invited to showings in batches, 4 to 7-year-olds, which was an age group apparently considered mature in terms of emotional response, but not yet socialized out of honest and unguarded expression. There was a long, illustrative sequence of still photographs in the document, a little blurred, a little dark, but they all showed the same thing. Small children, eyes wide, mouths open, slamming back against their seats, some of them launching themselves right over their seat backs, arms thrown up around their heads, ducking away in fear and panic. Then came an exception. One photograph was focused on a front row of 15 seats. 15 children, all boys. They all looked about 6 years old. 14 of them were slamming backward. 1 was jumping forward. He was larger than the others. He had short, tousled hair, light in color. He was diving up and out, trying to get to the screen. His right arm was raised aggressively. There was something in his hand. Susan Turner was pretty sure it was an open switchblade. The aggressive boy was not formally named in the document. He had been studied briefly, but then his father had been cut new orders, and the boy had gotten lost in the system. The experiment had petered out shortly afterward, but the results gleaned to that point had been retained as a completed file. The aggressive boy had been labeled with long words, none of which meant anything to Susan. The last page of the file was its own cross-reference index. There were no backward links to any other personnel file than Reacher's. Susan returned to the technical preamble. The delay between the appearance of the monster and the click of the shutter had been set at 18 frames, which was 3/4 of a second. She was impressed. Not so much with the forward leap. She knew people like that. She was one herself. But for a 6-year-old to have gotten a switchblade up and open in his hand in less than a second was something else.